when the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And it's time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we say hello once again to Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning to you, Gordon.
Good morning to you, Keisha.
Now, what are we going to be discussing this week?
Well, our subject last week was a list of some memorable Manitobans who passed away in 2022. So I thought, well, this week we should review some of the historic structures that were lost last year. By my tally, there were at least 24 of them, but we're only going to have time to talk about a few here this morning.
Okay, let's get into it. Where do we start?
Well, let's start in Brandon with the former dairy barn at the Brandon Research and Development Center, sometimes referred to by its former name, the Brandon Experimental Farm. This facility was founded in 1888 to conduct research on improving farming methods for prairie conditions. And over the years, a lot of important work was done there. In 1917, a state-of-the-art barn was constructed at the farm. It had over 17,000 square feet of space. It was a big barn, and it was used to house the facility's herd of dairy cattle until the late 1940s. It was used for a variety of other things during the years, and near the end of its life, the barn was used for long-term storage of equipment. Basically, anything they had left over, they wanted to stick away. There was a grassroots effort by several former employees at the farm, aided by their local member of parliament, who all recognized the historical merit of the old barn, but unfortunately they failed to sway Agriculture Canada and the barn was demolished last January.
You know, Gordon, I recall a few weeks ago, I think you mentioned the destruction of the former Shriners Hospital on Wellington Crescent here in Winnipeg, but there were other buildings taken down along the street as well in 2022, right?
Right. You know, and it seems ironic that while residents of the Crescentwood neighborhood are seeking designation as a heritage conservation district with the idea to preserve the historical character of their area, developers are going full speed on demolishing stately old homes along Wellington Crescent. Among the ones taken down last year were the Bolton House, built in 1929, and the Gilchrist House, built in 1932. But, you know, I drove along Wellington the other day and I saw two other houses surrounded by fences. So it appears that more old homes are earmarked for destruction in the near future.
Some of my favorite walks happen along Wellington. So it's interesting and sometimes a little sad to see some of the changes there. You know, there was a disastrous fire at the hotel in Gladstone. That was major news around Christmas. Were other hotels lost in 2022?
Yes, indeed. Also destroyed by fire in December was the hotel at Rennie in southeastern Manitoba. It was built in 1939 beside the newly constructed Trans-Canada Highway. And I guess it was for, you know, travelers on their way along the highway. And there seems to be a major remaking of Pembina Highway in the works. It has entailed demolitions of at least two motels from the 1950s or 1960s. At one time, there were many motels along Pembina Highway. Well, the two that came down were the Capri near Bishop Grandin Boulevard and the Pembina, or the Pemby, as it was sometimes called, near the Jubilee Underpass.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, your clue last time teased that there would be grain elevators among today's count. So how many?
Of course, listeners know my fascination with them. Well, at least five elevators were torn down. There were two really old elevators in the village of Elva near the Saskatchewan border, among which was the oldest elevator in Canada. Newer elevators at Tyndall and Crystal City were also demolished. And as part of construction for a highway cloverleaf at St. Mary's Road and the Perimeter Highway here in Winnipeg, an on-farm grain elevator built by dairy farmer Georges Gobert around 1920, well, it came down in July.
You know what? And one of the things that come to mind is I seem to remember several apartment blocks here in Winnipeg being destroyed by fire. Is that right?
Well, yes. Unfortunately, when buildings sit empty, it does tend to invite people trying to escape the cold or those with ill intent to light fires inside the vacant building. Among the blocks lost in 2022 were the Kenora Apartments on William Avenue. They were built in 1914. They were destroyed by fire last January. And there's the Tremont Apartments on Sherbrooke, destroyed by fire in February. You know, I noticed the other day when I drove by the former site of the Tremont that a mountain of rubble where the building used to stand is still present. And I wonder why it has not yet been cleared away, you know, almost a year later. A different situation, though, was at the Ferndale Apartments on Sherbrooke. It was occupied, wasn't empty, at the time of a fire on New Year's Eve 2021. That site has been completely cleared away. And, you know, I anticipate that some new building will probably take its place.
Well, looking forward to hearing some updates on those. But I'm curious as to what other buildings might have come down in 2022.
Well, another really disappointing demolition for me occurred last month when the former Agassiz Youth Center at Portage-la-Prairie was torn down. The site, which overlooks Crescent Lake, was first established in 1908 and was known initially as the Industrial Training School and later the Manitoba Home for Boys. It was intended as a facility for juvenile delinquents by giving them training for an occupation, hoping to set them on the right path. Renamed the Agassiz Youth Center in 1977, it was operated by the provincial government as a correctional center for young offenders until July, when the remaining ones were transferred to other facilities. Another institutional building demolished in 2022 was the Telephone Exchange Building at the corner of Ness Avenue and Rutland Street here in St. James. It was built in 1915 to enable telephone service in this growing area of Winnipeg. Demolished in February, the site has now been reoccupied by three homes. You know, and you'd be hard-pressed to know that the telephone building had ever been there.
Wow. You know, most of the things that you've described so far are buildings, but are there other historical structures that were demolished in 2022?
Well, another one of my personal fascinations are historical bridges. And by my tally, we lost at least three old concrete bridges last year, all dating from the 1920s, so all about 100 years old. There were a couple at Verdun, including a beautiful concrete arch bridge that was once part of the original Trans-Canada Highway. If you went by that hotel at Rennie, you'd eventually end up at overcrossing this bridge at Verdun. The most heartbreaking lost bridge for me was the old bridge just outside of Homefield, near Killarney in southwestern Manitoba. And, you know, it was not in degraded condition. There was no reason necessarily in terms of structure that led to its demolition. Rather, it was simply too narrow and too lightweight for the big truckloads of hogs and other farm products that wanted to cross it. That bridge was demolished in November.
Sorry to hear that, Gordon. You know, you mentioned earlier the upcoming demolitions of houses on Wellington Crescent. How does 2023 look for the demolition scene?
Well, the Shriners Hospital occupied a beautiful site overlooking the Assiniboine River, and I'm going to be interested to see what sort of building replaces it. You know, I predict it will be a high-density, multi-family accommodation, and I further predict that other buildings in desirable neighborhoods of Winnipeg will be torn down so developers can replace them with more lucrative ones. You know, for instance, it was reported in the news the other day that the Saigon Apartments, a fine example of mid-century architecture overlooking the Assiniboine River in Osborne Village, will be demolished very soon. The Saigon was constructed in 1952, and it has the distinction of being the first building in Canada and the second in all of North America built using an innovative construction method called lift slab. And we have information about the process on the Manitoba Historical Society website.
Well, you know, I want listeners to get involved. If they know of other historical structures that were lost in 2022 or that come down in 2023, how can they let you know about them?
Well, please, yes, by all means, contact me either by sending me email, gordon@mhs.mb.ca, or by leaving a message for me at the Manitoba Historical Society, 204-947-0559.
Thanks for that, Gordon. At this point, we usually ask about the subject for next week, but I understand that you actually have an announcement to make.
Yes. Listeners may know that I have written two books based on the things we discuss in this weekly series, the most recent of which was published in 2018. I'm now working on another book to be published later this year. You know, and I have to say, I find that I simply don't have enough time to research and write a book while also preparing this column. So with regret, I announce that for the next few months, Abandoned Manitoba will be here every 2 weeks. Not every week, it'll be bi-weekly. Once a month, we'll have an episode on an entirely new topic. And in between will be what I'm going to call Abandoned Manitoba Revisited. And there, we'll go back to some of the places we've discussed before in this series, and where possible, give listeners some updates. And once my book is done, Abandoned Manitoba will be back on a weekly basis.
Well, I cannot wait for that. I can't wait for the book, and I'm looking forward to speaking with you in 2 weeks from now.
Sounds good. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.